Mother Earth says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And Father Sky says, now take good care of me. Please do not hurt me. Hey, 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 yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. Living creatures say, take good care of us. Please do not hurt us. Hey, hey, yo. Hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo. And we are here to be ourselves, to be with one another, to be with our surroundings, to be. And we are here to take care of ourselves, to take care of one another, to take care of our surroundings. Anila nijone go shabothya, nijone go shabothya. Hey, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo, hey, yo.
Akwai, greetings. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native American Center. We are broadcasting on RFPI, Radio for Peace International, Global Community Radio. Akwai, welcome. This is your host, Ones Pritzker. Wolf Mountain Radio focuses on protecting Mother Earth, defending native lands and indigenous peoples throughout the world. Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, presents the situations facing Native peoples throughout the world with Native news, interviews, music, commentaries, and investigative reports. This program serves to protect sacred Mother Earth and the traditional cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Please listen now to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. Ho, Kanawantakwasin, to all of our relations.
Ah!
music from the drum Blackstone off their Kenyon Records CD entitled On the Oregon Trail. The name of that song was High Above the Eagle Soars. Many Native Americans consider the eagle a sacred bird. We believe the eagle carries our prayers high up into the sky world. Being presented with an eagle feather is a great privilege. Often a feather is gifted to honor the recipient for something they did for the benefit of Mother Earth and our tribal people. Ashkwe, greetings and hello everyone. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Today's broadcast is Program 3 of Wolf Mountain Radio's series entitled Speaking Out for Socioeconomic Justice, Conversations with Youth Activists at the 2009 5th Annual Immokalee Encuentro. Encuentro is a Spanish term meaning gathering. Yat Kiddushi Native Center has the privilege to participate every year at a fine gathering known as the Immokalee Encuentro that concerns itself with socioeconomic justice and human rights. The primary focus of annual Encuentros is the exploitation of farm workers by agribusiness, food, and restaurant industry. The gathering supports the Coalition of Immokalee Workers, hosted by the National Grassroots Organization, the Student Farm Worker Alliance. The CIW Encuentro is also assisted by Interfaith Action. Farm workers, mostly Latino, Haitian, and Mayan Indians, labor long hours in the hot sun, harvesting the fruits and vegetables most Americans eat. The exhaustive hard work is nothing less than modern-day slavery. Abusive crew bosses, sub-poverty wages, health problems from exposure to toxic pesticides and herbicides, exemption from USDA labor laws, and overcrowded, squalid housing are the harshful conditions of working Florida's agricultural fields and packing plants. It is also important to remember that a long history of U.S. foreign policy and economic globalization has caused a great number of people to cross the border in order to find work. Many farm workers are under U.S. law illegal aliens. They risk deportation from the U.S. Department of Immigration and Naturalization. In addition, Collier County Sheriff deputies have INS authority. Please keep these conditions in mind as you listen to the program. The Encuentro agenda also encourages briefings and workshops on a multitude of other serious issues of concern to young people in hopes of creating a better world. One of the most enjoyable aspects of attending the Encuentros is the opportunity for me to talk with participants who come from various geographic and cultural backgrounds. Some are longtime activists who represent a national organization or campaign that supports the Coalition of Immokalee Workers and Student Farm Worker Alliance. Other participants may represent a community group that is an ally to CIWSFA. There are also some young people who are new to social justice issues and are here for their first time. In addition, Encuentro participants range in age from high school to graduate school. Above all, the Encuentro is a space where people can openly share ideas and experiences in an atmosphere of respect and equality for everyone, while we work for justice and broader efforts for creating a better world. My first guest joining me here at my broadcast table is Mr. Jeff Budong, a student at John Carroll University. Welcome, sir, to Wolf Mountain Radio. Jeff, what influenced you to come to the Encuentro? What has been your experience thus far here in Immokalee? What have you learned at the Encuentro that perhaps
you were less aware of before you came.
I'm Jeff Boudon. I come from Cleveland, Ohio, and I go to John Carroll University. What brought me here was some of the groups I work with on campus. I heard about it, and it was definitely something amenable to my beliefs. You know, I think the most valuable thing that I've had so far is having a lot of my assumptions challenged. The ways I think about gender, race, class, you know, I've often thought of myself as being a pretty progressive person, but it's really always nice to get shaken out of that complacency and have something shake you up and think, wow, maybe the way that I am talking, or maybe some of the things I say with a bit of levity that other people do take with a little bit more seriousness. Foremost, you have the realization that it's really very hard to get out of where you come from. Being a white male growing up in America, as much as I like to think, oh, I've gotten past the trappings of privilege, I haven't. I might have recognized some of the underlying causes, some of the symptoms. Nevertheless, some of that is still there. And I think that's one of the most important realizations. Some of the innate, almost evolutionary impulses I have when I see somebody of a different color, somebody of a different creed. It's comfortable for us to make assumptions and to categorize and to box people.
White is a tool that was made by a nation to justify slavery and colonization. Divide up the world into an us and a them, the primitive animal savage and the civilized human. Race is a story we're told, embedded deep in the brain. They call it natural order, but it's socially ingrained. Systematic exploitation by division of the people into some were made as slaves to serve the ones created equal. First thing they conquer is their own people's minds. The colonizer's the first one to be colonized. We're born with pale skin and they tell us we're white. Playing some Olympian darkness and this child will walk in light. What color is God in our pictures? And what is the color of sin? If two came to your door, one pale, one dark-skinned, who'd be the first one that you would let in? Shame hangs his head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud with bold angry cries, no more white lies. We're the wealthiest nation on earth, so they say. Where did this wealth come from? So the labor of slaves, all those who suffered and toiled and died, feeding the hunger of rich white man's pride. Who works in our orchards? Who picks our fine crops? Who sweats in our sweatshops? Who pushes the mops? Who rots in our prisons for the crime of their skin? Who dies in our wars so that others can win? Who lived here before us, and who stole their land? And who are the heroes of Custer's last stand? Who wrote the history books? Who makes the rules? And who mines the ore for the master's own tools? Shame hangs his head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud with bold angry cries, no more white lies. Well, I am not racist, many white folks have said, but racism's not just a thought in your head. It's the privilege we wield when we walk down the streets and don't have to fear each white cop that we meet. It's the power we're handed from the moment of birth, when we're told our pale skin is our measure of worth. Colorblind is a code word for the problem's not mine, 'cause white folks got the privilege to say everything's fine. It's in the history of our families and the stories that we bear. It's in the small subtle perks along the way that got us there. It's in all the shit we never went through, all the pain we never felt. It's in the stacked deck of cards and the hand we were dealt. You know you used to be Irish or Italian or Basque. Call up your grandma if you can and just ask. We traded history for power, tradition for slaves, paired our pride with the bodies in the unmarked graves. Shame hangs its head, guilt tries to run. simplicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud. With bold, angry cries, no more white lies. So who's really to blame? It's not easy to say. And of course those in power want to keep it that way. This trouble runs deep to the core of our souls. We were formed by the power that our ancestors stole. Is it the structure of the person that keeps racism alive? Well, it's both, and they're nourished by the great white lie. We gotta struggle on the inside, gotta struggle on the out. Cause struggling together is what solidarity is about. Shame hangs his head, guilt tries to run. Complicity demands we undo what's been done. Name our history, find the courage to rise. Shout it out loud. With bold, angry cries, no more white lies. No more white lies. No more white lies. No more white lies.
Music from singer-songwriter Ethan Miller off his Riot Folk CD. The name of that song was White Lies. The lyrics referred to racism and the white elite of America that still dictates most of the economic and political power structure of the country. I am very appreciative that the Encuentro agenda always includes a conference session on this topic of inequality and discrimination, what many term white privilege. My guest today here at the 5th annual Immokalee Encuentro is Jeff Budong. Jeff is a student at John Carroll University. Sir, how do you feel about your generation's concern for justice? While the Student Farm Work Alliance is a great network of youth activists, do you feel many college students across the nation care about the many important issues facing humanity and our planet?
I think it's a mixed bag, and that's something you've always had, and that's just a symptom of the human condition. You've got a lot of people that are very motivated, and you've got others that are very apathetic. I think there's a tendency to want to demonize the apathetic sometimes, but you have to remember, nobody does what they do because they think it'll make the world worse. Some people just feel that their own comfort is of more importance. It's just a matter of being patient and getting into dialogue with people.
Today's Encuentro schedule is not giving me much time in between conference sessions to speak with people as much as I would like to. In the few moments left before the next workshop, I want to ask you, Jeff, if you have any final words you wish to express to our worldwide listeners.
Yeah, I think one of the important things to do within radical movements is always to have a sense of charity. And by charity, I mean love, in the Latin that it comes from. Have that kind of sense of selfless love for the people who disagree with you. Like I said, nobody does what they do because they think it'll make the world worse. There's the Catholic Worker Movement. I'm really sympathetic with a lot of the work that they do. And I remember the first time I went to their house in Cleveland, I saw a big sign on the wall that said, "Smash capitalism with love." And I think a lot of the revolutions in the past that have fizzed up and then dwindled out over time, the French Revolution maybe is a good example, there was too much an impulse of vengeance when the people who were wronged came up and wanted to give those who were previously in power their comeuppance. I really can't stress enough the importance of the impulse for forgiveness and the willingness to do so, and also for patience and that kind of selfless love, what's called agape in Greek. I think that those things are all fundamental to really establishing any sort of lasting harmony amongst people.
Jeff, I certainly support the need for harmony among the world's peoples. As I thank you for speaking with us today in Wolf Mountain Radio, I must, however, briefly mention that as a native person who has studied the history of the Catholic Church and being familiar with the Catholic workers' movement you mentioned, I cannot disavow the fact of Vatican-sanctioned genocide of indigenous peoples throughout the globe that has been ongoing for 517 years. There can be no harmony between cultures until the Church officially rescinds and apologizes for Pope Alexander VI, 1493, It is the Terra Papal Bull Decree that authorized the conquest of all the lands and peoples of the non-white, non-Christian world in the name of Christendom.
Up to California, from Mexico you come, to the Sacramento Valley, to toil in the sun. Your wife and seven children, they're working everyone. And what will you be giving to your brown-eyed children of the sun? Your face is lined and wrinkled, your age is 41, your back is bent from picking, like your dying times have come. But your children's eyes are smiling, for their lives have just begun. And what will you be giving to your brown-eyed children of the sun? Sunday, to the capital you come. You fight for union wages, and your fight has just begun. Well, you're a proud man, and you're a free man, and this heritage is one that you can be giving to your brown-eyed children of the sun.
The song you just heard was the 2007 YouTube First Place Award for honoring Chicano civil rights leader and United Farm Workers Union co-founder Cesar Chavez. You are listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yad Kiddushi Native Center. This is your host and producer, Ernest Pritzker. I'm here at the 2009 5th Annual Immokalee Encuentro. As always, I have a small radio booth set up in the corner of the main conference room where I invite anyone to come and talk to Wolf Mountain radio listeners. Sitting here now at the table are two young people who came from Baltimore, Maryland to attend this year's gathering. They are Mariana Castaneda and Xavier Cheatham. Mariana is with a multiracial, intergenerational collective called Detroit Summer. That organization works to empower and transform one's community by confronting problems with creativity and critical thinking. Part of this work is done through youth-led media arts projects and community-wide potlucks, speakouts, and parties. Xavier Cheatham works with the Baltimore Algebra Project. The project is a student-run math education project that tutors students in Baltimore City schools. Welcome to Wolf Mountain Radio.
My name is Mariana Castaneda. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I go to school in Baltimore now. What motivated me to come to the Encuentro is I do a lot of community work in Detroit, even though I'm not there anymore. I work specifically with a group called Detroit Summer, and that's Arts and Media Youth Leadership Development Program. Through that organization, we've experimented with different structures, being a 501c3, being a collective, and one of our biggest challenges in the work that we do is incorporating allies and moving people up in leadership development. And it's something that I've always heard the CIW and SFA being really great at, incorporating allies from different backgrounds, from different interests, things like that. And so it's something I wanted to learn a lot more about, so that's why I came.
My name is Xavier Chium. I'm from Baltimore. I'm part of Baltimore Algebra Project. It's a youth organization that teaches math to high school and middle school students, as well as advocate for quality education as a civil right.
One important aspect of both of your organizations is the focus on self-empowerment and leadership development. My organization, Yat Kedeshi Native Center, likewise is dedicated to promoting these attitudes to young people we mentor. Your generation is the up-and-coming leaders of society. Whatever type of world we have in the near future will be up to your generation. Since both of you work with young people, how do you feel about people of your generation? Do many have concern about the serious global issues and injustices confronting society? Are young people apathetic? Do you feel young people have dreams and hopes for a better world?
I see young people as having really big dreams and having so much potential. When I meet young people and I ask them what do they care about, they don't tell me they care about farm worker rights. They don't tell me they care about health, universal health care or things like that. They tell me they care about the person down the street from them who's their best friend. Their mom had to go to the hospital, has all these bills. They tell me that they haven't eaten all day because they can't afford something, or maybe the only thing they've been eating for like weeks is like hot Cheetos or something like that. So they care about what's affecting them, and all it takes is like one conversation to get them to realize that those things are affecting them are actually bigger issues, like universal health care, like food injustice, like environmental injustice and things like that. So I think that young people really are passionate about what's going on in the world. They just don't necessarily think of it in that context.
From my understanding, from working with young people, a lot of young people are told what they should care about. They have TV in front of them, that's something they should care about, Nike sneakers. They're in schools where they're being told they should care about white man's history. And so after growing up in a system like that, having, you know, opposite beliefs to that system, it's kind of hard to care about other issues, because a lot of young people don't realize how it relates to them and how the system that they're rebelling against is part of the things that they're not really concerned with.
This is a question for either one of you or both of you. Today is the last day of the Encuentro. What aspect of your time here has been a highlight for you? Is there something in particular that has energized you?
I'd say the main thing is just seeing all the different places that these people come from, you know, that all the different participants come from. It's really inspiring to see something so big that produces things that are so concrete and that brings people together in such a direct way, you know, that it's not just like, oh, be part of this listserv and know that there's other hundreds of people getting this email, but you can actually come here and get to see people on the same page as you face to face and have real conversations with them. Because to me, that's like the key element to social change, is the kinds of relationships you have and the way you act in those relationships. So being here is proof to that being a key element of actually changing things in the world.
One of the workshop sessions Yat Kedeshi Native Center conducted here at the Encuentro focuses on coalition building and strengthening grassroots movements. A key focus of this is honestly and openly dealing with issues such as racism, sexism, age discrimination, and financial class status. People of color, as well as many women, even with the same academic or professional background as their white counterparts, are often not regarded as equal. Many organizations are still predominantly run by European Americans. There are few minorities in senior management or in positions of authority. This is an issue of white privilege. As a person of color, an American Indian, I have experienced this attitude and discrimination in my career as an ecologist and university academic. I know other women and people of color activists have concerns about issues of race, class, age, gender, and white privilege. Would you please share your thoughts on this topic?
I think that the CIW and the SFA approach privilege in a really great way, in a really effective way, in that they emphasize the role of an ally. They emphasize people realizing that they haven't personally experienced the kinds of injustices that CIW is trying to combat, and therefore their role isn't to be on the front lines dealing with that, but their role is to be supporting the people that are. So they think that they emphasize being an ally in a really effective way that's really important. One thing that I struggle with, even in coming here and in seeing their great way of pushing allyship, is that I wonder if the people here who do have race privilege in particular, I wonder how they came to realize that, for one, but also how they talk about that with their peers. So that's one issue. And then the other issue that I still don't get about privilege is class privilege, because all of us who are here, we're all students, and just for the simple fact of being in college, we are privileged. Myself, you know, I'm from a background that actually is more similar to many of the CIW members than it is to most of the other SFA members. So it's been a struggle for myself to wrap my head around the privilege that I have in being in college, you know, even though it's like it had happened in a very tokenizing way and kind of by chance, but still it's something that I need to recognize, you know, and confront and deal with. I mean, I don't have that much experience with SFA or CIW, but it feels like that's not really something that's addressed, is class privilege through education. I think it's something that matters.
I think Mariana said it best.
Mariana, one of the reasons why I wanted to interview you is that I know you and I work with media for social justice. We both feel communications can not only inform, educate, and empower our own communities, but equally important to get the voices of people usually not listened to in society heard. People of color, women, and the poor still have little access to mainstream media. There are too few media outlets for poor and people of color to speak and represent themselves. News bureaus often ignore issues important to people of color. Unfortunately, on the rare occasions journalists are sent to report on a story in a minority community, that coverage is often inaccurate, incomplete, and plays on racial stereotypes. This is why community media, like Unity Journalists of Color, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, Mayotte Kittishi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio, and the Allied Media Project you work with are so very, very important. Would you please talk about the Allied Media Project?
Yeah, the organization is called Allied Media Projects, and what it is I believe our mission statement is pretty broad, but to the effect of using media to create a more creative and therefore just world. Something that's very unique about our approach to media is that we believe media can be used as a tool for transformation, not just for entertainment, not just of making a win in a huge campaign or something like that. The point of media is to communicate, and communication is a basic element of humanity. You know, every living thing communicates all the time. So if you think of it from that perspective, you think about who normally communicates in the mainstream media, you know, and how is that oppressive. So what we do with Allied Media Projects is we emphasize at the Allied Media Conference every summer, we emphasize projects that are, I guess you could say in a way, the voice of the voiceless. So it's people of color, it's poor people, it's workers, it's young people, it's indigenous people who are coming out to the conference and who are getting to showcase their projects, their organizations that are all about providing a space for people to exercise this basic element of humanity called communication. I think that that in and of itself, those kinds of people, the marginalized people being able to communicate, is them just expressing their humanity, and that in and of itself is working towards social change.
I want to sincerely thank the both of you for not only speaking to Wolf Mountain Radio listeners, but also for participating in this year's Encuentro and for the work you do in the communities where you live. I always like to ask my guests if they have any final comments they wish to share.
I'd say my final comment is just people are amazing, honestly. All the bad and all the good that we've done, I think, is just a show of all of our potential. We can use that potential in a negative way or in a positive way. And I think if people just focus their energy in a more positive place, then it shouldn't be that hard to fix the wrongs that we have in the world right now.
Just want to say no education, no life. Keep the struggle alive. Keep fighting and working hard. Thanks for having me.
Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share? People gonna rise up and take what's there. Don't you know you better run, 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 run. Oh, I said you better run, 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 run. Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Talking about a revolution. Starting to turn, talking about a revolution. Oh no, talking about a revolution. Oh, while they're standing in the welfare lines, crying to those of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around waiting for a promotion. Don't you know, talking about a revolution sounds.
Music from singer-songwriter Tracy Chapman off her 1988 Elektra Records cassette. The name of that song was Talking About a Revolution. I featured that song as an introduction to my next program guest, who is a young activist fighting against homelessness and poverty. Great issues of concern to Yad Kiddushin Native Center as well. My guest prefers not to say his name on air in order not to let law enforcement know that he is here at the Encuentro. I will call this gentleman Sir. Sir, let's begin our conversation about the subject you came to the Encuentro to talk about, homelessness and poor people's struggles in America.
I came to talk about the connection that homeless people have to the connection of poor people's resistance movements across the country, and that includes farm workers here in Immokalee. I was saying that it's very important for people to think globally and act locally, and that is not just a slogan. It's something that is real in terms of the food that comes out of Immokalee is in the Burger Kings or in the Taco Bells around the block in El Barrio. So it's important for us to see where that comes from, but also to see that exploitation is extended, you know. And I also talked about how this country is founded and built upon racism, genocide of indigenous populations, and how that has been extended through today. If you look at New York City and the homeless population, many of the folks that are homeless look like me. the African American. We don't represent a tremendously large population in New York City. We're a minority. So that goes to show that racism still exists in our society. It's important for us to see those connections and to kind of realize that being in solidarity with folks takes an understanding of racism and challenging your privilege, right? But it also takes folks to actually look at their social location, their position, and actually put themselves in a position where they can help communities who are most affected by a problem, actually help them come up with the solutions to their problems. It's not about me telling people or doing things for folks. It's about how can I help folks create things with? How can I help folks do for themselves? That sort of thing. And that's kind of my standpoint from my activist work. That's the kind of way I view a movement building.
Sir, my next question focuses on the subject of how poor and homeless people in many urban areas are using vacant lots to grow vegetables, as well as occupying abandoned buildings for shelter. This movement, some call Take Back the Land, has had to fight both city governments and developers from bulldozing down community gardens. Many poor people, mostly people of color, become homeless as a result of economic development, politicians term urban renewal. It should be called urban removal. These so-called redevelopment projects usually result in wealthier people purchasing property, forcing former poorer residents out of their homes. This process is called gentrification. So would you please talk about this situation? It is especially relevant considering the economic state of the country and how more and more people are finding it hard to pay for food and keep their homes. Hunger and homelessness in America is on the rise.
In terms of taking back the land, this past July, actually, we took over a vacant lot that was owned by Chase Bank. We did it under the auspice that land should not be vacant, especially when there's homeless people in the streets. The land could be used for something. We made a tent city in that area. We also had food, this group called the Grubbers. They get food that's thrown away from either the Whole Foods store or any place that throws away food is perfectly fine. And so that's one area of sustainability, and we served that food when we did the takeover. And the thing that I think was really cool about the action was it was about self-determination. It's about homeless people claiming the space and claiming the land for themselves. It wasn't an us versus them dichotomy that is created when you're quote-unquote an activist, rah-rah, like I'm against you. It's more so about this land isn't being used. We're going to take this space and we're going to use it for what we think it should be used for. From talking to folks in the community, said that the land was vacant for 20, 30 years and nothing has been there. And they said that the land should have been used for a park for the kids in the community. There's no places for kids to play, just concrete jungle. You know, it's a sidewalk everywhere. That was just one way that we were able to engage the community. Also show the state that, like, what you're doing is illegitimate. This is not something that is right, and it's not something that we should accept as a people. Yeah, so that's basically what the action was about.
Crosses the street, seems embarrassed to be there.
Oh, think twice, 'cause it's another day for you and me in paradise. Oh, think twice, 'cause it's another day for you.
You and me in paradise.
are listening to Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices, a production of the Yat Kitichi Native Center. Yat Kitichi Native Center defends Mother Earth and the cultural lifeways of Indigenous peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center is an intertribal, culture and arts, environmental protection, social justice, and news media organization. Yat Kitichi Native Center portrays Native peoples and their worldviews in a more accurate and in-depth depiction of both our ancestral and contemporary cultures. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves to educate by providing a deeper understanding of our diverse cultures, arts, values, histories, and contemporary situations. Yat Kitichi tries to honor traditional ways by instilling an appreciation and respect for Mother Earth and tribal peoples throughout the world. Yat Kitichi Native Center educates the public on important issues facing Indigenous communities. We work in support of intertribal, cultural, environmental, and social justice issues by networking with other organizations and events which share our concerns. Yat Kitichi Native Center serves as a focal point for Native news and information. We maintain a documentary library for networking with the Native and international press. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Speakers Bureau provides spokespersons for school programs, conference speakers, and community presentations. Yat Kitichi Native Center is experienced in planning, promoting Native forums, symposiums, powwows, and cultural events. Yat Kitichi's Mishkwinataki Environment Program protects Mother Earth through conservation and restoration projects. Yat Kitichi's Environmental Education Program focuses on curriculum development, teacher training, and nature field trips. We are members of the professional organization, the North American Association of Environmental Education. Yat Kitichi Native Center's Wolf Mountain Radio Program, Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, honors Native American and Indigenous peoples throughout the world by being a voice for our ancestors, contemporary, and future generations. Native peoples throughout the world are concerned for the well-being of sacred Mother Earth, tribal sovereignty, and respect for cultural lifeways. If you appreciate hearing Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices, we ask you, our listeners, to help financially support our program to stay on the air. Wolf Mountain Radio is an all-volunteer production. Any financial contribution to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices will be greatly appreciated. We thank you for listening to Honoring Mother Earth Indigenous Voices. We welcome your comments and suggestions. Please feel free to contact us about our consulting services, or if you or your organization is interested in hosting a speaker or educational forum. To contact Yat Kitichi Native Center, write to Yat Kitichi Native Center, 1731 16th Avenue Northeast, Naples, Florida, 34120, USA. Yat Kitichi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Aho, Kinawatakusin, to all of our relations.
The music you heard prior to our Yat Kitichi Native Center program identification was from singer-songwriter Phil Collins. The name of that song was Another Day in Paradise. The lyrics refer to how needy and homeless people are ignored by society. People living on the street are seen every day, yet are treated as being invisible. We deflect our eyes and block them from our minds. Florida often is seen as paradise when viewed from its affluent beach and country club lifestyle image. Contrast that to the ever-growing numbers of hungry lining up at soup kitchens or increasing number of street people in every municipality. More and more families are becoming hungry and homeless in America. Well, dear friends, we are nearing the end of our time together for this edition of Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. I want to sincerely again thank today's program guests, Jeff Budong, Mariana Castaneda, Xavier Cheatham, and the last speaker who prefers to protect his identity. Yad Kiddushi Native Center encourages listeners to learn more about the issues you hear about in our programs. There are many fine organizations which provide great information on their websites. The Student Farmworker Alliance, for example, is www.sfalliance.org. The National Coalition for the Homeless is www.nationalhomeless.org. Hopefully people will, after educating themselves about these important issues, will support these justice movements. Yad Kiddushi Native Center sincerely thanks you. Please listen next time for program 4 of our special Wolf Mountain Radio series entitled Speaking Out for Socioeconomic Justice. We shall conclude today's broadcast with music by Ed Windancer off his EWD CD entitled Breath of My Soul. The name of the song is Here I Am, Creator. Thank you for listening to Wolf Mountain Radio's Honoring Mother Earth, Indigenous Voices. This is your host and producer, Ones Pritzker. Aho, kinawantakwasin to all of our relations.